And now it's time for our Saturday Night Theatre. Stephanie Cole, Molly Sugden, Geoffrey Palmer, and Ronald Herdman star in Lent by Michael Wilcox. Paul Blake is played by Ben Holden. The play is set in Gorse Park Preparatory School in 1956. It's the Easter holidays.
This is the school library. At the end of term, we spent ages sorting out all the books. All the other boys went home yesterday. For the next 4 weeks, I'm the only boy in the universe. There's a fantastic record collection here. In the holidays, I can play what I want whenever I like. This is Elgar's Violin Concerto. A bit of it. If anyone talks while the music's playing, I'll shoot them.
Mr. Maitland, am I right in thinking that the last time you saw the pistol was on the Sunday after the cross country?
Yes, Headmaster. I had it in my room on Saturday night. It had been in my room for most of the week, as a matter of fact.
Why?
I clean it each year, Mrs. Edwards. You know that.
Does that take a week?
I like to make sure everything is in perfect working order. It sets a very bad example to the boys if you pull the trigger and nothing happens.
Quite right, matey.
Thank you, Mrs. Blake.
This is the dormitory where I sleep. The beds are rotten. Mine's not too bad, I suppose. Last term, we set up our own telephone service between the dorms. It was Abrahams who had the idea. He brought two sets of headphones back from Assam, where his father works. That's in India. He got some very thin copper wire, just single strand, and we laid it under the lino when Matron wasn't about. The first message we got was, Hodge has been sick. There was this boy called Hodge, and he was sick, right at the end of Journey into Space, all over his sheets. Matron was furious.
Where did you put the pistol?
In the drawer in the stationery cupboard.
Did you lock it?
I do not recall the drawer being locked at any time in the last 30 years, Headmaster.
The boy's at the bottom of this lot. We really ought to question Paul before we go any further.
I agree.
I'm his grandmother. I can do that later.
With respect, Mrs. Blake, this is an urgent school matter.
He's waiting outside.
Why?
I think he should be summoned.
I'll do it.
Blake? Blake? It's finished.
Wrong door, Mrs. Edwards.
Oh.
Did you call, Mrs. Edwards?
Don't be impertinent. Close the French windows at once. You'll let all the heat out.
We are making inquiries.
Yes, sir.
About the starting pistol.
Yes.
Have you stolen it?
No.
Don't lie to us, Blake.
I'm not, sir.
You've stolen it, haven't you?
I have not.
That's enough. Now then, Paul, do you know anything about it?
Yes.
are.
I told you.
One moment, please. Now, what do you know about it, Paul?
It's quite safe. What's the matter?
It's been stolen.
No, it hasn't. Honestly, sir. I borrowed it.
What?
I wanted to know what it sounded like indoors.
Why?
I wanted to shoot the old witch.
Are you mad?
No, sir. Only a little, sir. It's for the end-of-term treat.
What treat?
The puppet show.
Well, you're not still playing with dolls, are you, Blake?
In my new play, the witch gets shot with golden bullets.
He's got the gun under his jumper.
It makes a terrifically exciting noise, sir.
Blake!
Don't point it at me!
Listen.
Oh, wonderful.
You never point. Stay calm, everyone. Stay calm.
I'm going to squirt blood through the scenery so it trickles down the walls.
Hand over the gun.
Give it to me, Paul.
There you are, matey.
You've been very stupid, Paul.
Stealing is a very serious offense, Blake.
I didn't steal it.
You should have asked permission.
I did.
You murdered a lot of us.
My father said I could.
What?
I wanted to use the gun in a puppet show 2 years ago. Daddy said I was too young. I said, when can I use it? He said when I was 13. Well, I am 13.
I won't hear such nonsense. He ought to be punished severely.
I'll handle that.
Please don't interfere, Edwards. This is a family matter now. Paul, your pocket money is stopped for a week. Now, go away.
Yes, Mrs. Blake.
Damn you for hell, you bloody old witch!
There's loads of gardens and woods at Gorse Park. We make dens in terms, right? I quite enjoy exploring all the hideouts in the holidays. Out here, we can get away from all those boring, stupid grown-ups. This is our world, not theirs.
Mrs. Blake, I'm sorry to tell you that your grandson is becoming a problem around the school.
I don't think so.
Well, there were occasions last term when Paul failed to tell the truth. Some stamps went missing from Simpson's stamp album. I had good reason to believe that Paul was responsible. I questioned him at assembly, but he denied all knowledge of the theft.
You were quite wrong to try and make an example of him.
I will not make exceptions.
I'm watching you very carefully, Edwards. I've known you too long, seen too much. I know what you're after. Planning, scheming, you and Mrs. Edwards together. How long is it? 36 years?
38 years.
Half a lifetime. My husband interviewing you in the study. I remember it precisely. You're not without qualities, but you have become cruel in a childish, boyish way. Spiteful man. Spiteful.
Mr. Maitland would like to earn some holiday pay. Could I suggest that he mends some of the desk hinges and unblocks the inkwells?
That'll be perfectly in order. Please ask him to come and tell me how many hours he has worked. I'll settle up with him in the usual way.
Very good, Mrs. Blake.
Now, I'm going to walk in the garden. What's your wife cooking for lunch?
Who knows?
Not that filthy macaroni cheese again, I hope. I can manage. You go first down the stairs, Edwards.
Right.
If it's cold, what's the weather like? Oh, where's Paul? Paul? What are you doing for the rest of the morning, Edwards?
Driving to Newbury.
Again? Oh, damn. I'm going to get my coat. You send that boy to me. Paul?
The tap box room isn't far from the boilers, so it's warm, and there's things to eat. It's a good place to read. This glucose belongs to Harper. If I take anything out of the tap box in the holidays, I always leave a note saying what I've taken. Harper liked marbles last time. He was good at it.
I've left a few in his tap box. If he doesn't want them, we'll come to some other arrangement. It's not stealing. More like lending. The boys know I do it. I only go through the tuck boxes that aren't locked. Anyway, they're stupid for leaving food behind. Carter made me give him my dandy annual for half a packet of biscuits once. That was unfair on me, I thought. I didn't always like music. My father made me go to music club. He's dead. I wish there were some other boys around. Evans. Or Price Minor.
Your grandmother's looking for you.
Is it 11 o'clock, matey?
As good as. What are you eating?
Glucose. Do you want some?
Is it yours?
By arrangement with Harper. You can have some if you want, sir.
Just a dip. What's the book you're reading?
The Prisoner of Zender.
Not a bad yarn.
Can't you persuade Mrs. Blake to get a television? All the other boys watches. It's not fair. There's football matches, matey. And plays.
Oh, it's no good. She won't budge. I'd like one in my room, but she won't allow it.
Let's smuggle one in.
Underhand little sneak.
I'm not.
She pays my wages and looks after you. She'd be bound to see the aerial.
Well, we could tell her it's a new lightning conductor.
She's not that daft.
I seem to be missing everything.
She's waiting for you in the rose garden. Move.
Take the glucose, matey.
Ah.
You can finish it if you want.
Wretchedly weak, Bernard. Stand up to her. Good God, I'd have thought after all these years you'd be able to cope with a silly old bitch.
Don't lose your temper, my dear.
You're a pathetic man. You're headmaster now, and she treats you like a footman.
Would you like me to change your books in Newbury, my love?
Well, of course I would. They're on the back seat.
What would you like this time?
Murder stories.
Very well.
The Blakes have had their day.
I've got to go, dearest.
She can't last forever. Remember that, Bernard.
I know.
And the boy's mad.
What's for lunch, my love?
Mince and frog spawn. So don't be late!
Quite warm this morning.
You could take your coat off, Mrs. Blake.
Daffodils are past their best. Are they ready to be tied down, do you think?
No.
Lavender's showing signs of life. I adore lavender. What did you give up for Lent, Paul?
Chocolate, worse luck. What about you?
Dickens. I always give up Dickens for Lent.
Does that count?
In my case, yes.
I think I'll give up Dickens for Lent next year.
It's not the same for you, silly boy. We'll have a Dickens quiz. Every time you catch me out, I'll give you a penny.
Good.
They're all in the library. Your grandfather gave me that set when we got engaged. I presented them to the school. What have you been reading lately?
Old St. Paul's.
Oh, Ainsworth.
There's this horrible old hag. A bit like Mrs. Edwards. She pretends to look after people in the plague. But really, she robs them and kills them. She dies the most horrible death. Sizzling away in molten lead from the roof of old St. Paul's. You know, in the Fire of London. It's really wonderful.
You were very naughty this morning.
Sorry. I've always wanted to shoot her.
Well, you mustn't.
I want to read The Cruel Sea, the grown-up version. There's only the cadet version in the library.
You are not to read it. I forbid it. You're too young.
Is it that good?
It's a wicked book. Wicked. Oh, aren't those primulas gorgeous?
Do look at those dreadful weeds.
You know, Mr. Edwards gives the boys who are leaving a talk on the last morning, privately in his study. What does he say?
Not much.
But what does he say?
It's man's talk.
But what?
Oh, do smell the blossom.
I know he says something important. What is it, Mrs. Blake?
If you pass your common entrance exam next term, you'll find out, won't you?
Can't you tell me?
No, I can't, so shut up.
If I pass my common entrance, will you buy a television set?
Certainly not.
They have Dickens on television, in serials. Oh, please, Mrs. Blake.
Your father agreed with me. Television wastes too much time. There are plenty of other things to do.
Poor father. We watched the coronation.
Oh, that was years ago. Anyway, coronations are different. I don't want to hear any more about it. I think Matey should set you some extra work.
Oh, please, no.
You want to do well in your exams? Your father would have given you work to do. You must study for at least an hour a day. I insist. I'll speak to Matey at lunchtime.
Do I have to?
We must have flowers on the table. Be an angel boy and pick a few of those daffodils. And something with leaves. I'm going to sit in the hut. Bring them to me. Oh, that's absolutely stifling. This beastly coat.
I've got to finish this desk.
Oh, come on, sir.
Who taught you to play pontoon?
Someone.
One of the boys?
Very likely.
What stakes do you play for?
Oh, fruit gums, Smarties, whatever's available.
I haven't got any.
Let's play anyway. We can know each other.
Do you trust me?
Of course I do. We're still allowed to have secrets.
Oh?
We don't have to tell each other everything. We can still trust one another.
Right.
Good.
Who's banker?
Cutfrit. Top stake of threepence.
Yeah. One penny. Buy for two.
You can't buy for more than your original stake.
Oh, buy for one, then. Stick.
Pay 18.
Oh, 17. I owe you a penny.
Tuppence. You bought for one as well as your original stake.
Wait.
Hide the cards. Yes, Edward.
Ah.
What have you got in your pocket, Blake?
My hand, sir.
What else?
Nothing much, sir.
What is it?
Private property.
Mr. Maitland?
You will never know with boys, headmaster.
Really, Maitland?
May I go now, sir?
Empty out your pockets, Blake.
No, sir.
Did you hear that, Maitland? Empty them, Blake.
It's holiday time, sir. I've gone home. Let go of my arm!
Let me see, headmaster.
Let go!
When I've seen what's in your pocket.
No!
Headmaster, please.
Never! Touch me again. Never.
Oh, calm down. Calm down. You come to my study at 12:30. Mr. Maitland, there are copies of The Coral Island and Dog Cruiser behind the blackboard in 2A.
Yes, sir. Damn!
I agree.
Will you go and see him?
I suppose so.
Let me talk to him.
No. It's my problem. Matey, take me to see a film this afternoon.
What's on?
Buffalo Bill.
If you get permission.
That man is absolutely bloody, Matey. I'll see you at lunch.
Right.
It's one of Mrs. Edwards' poisonous mints. Thank you.
Come in. I've been wanting to have a talk with you, Paul. Do you not feel you owe me an apology?
No, sir. Why, sir?
Paul, when your parents were killed, do you remember what I said to you?
I think so, sir.
What did I say?
I'm not sure of the exact words, sir.
I don't need the exact words. What was the sense of what I said to you?
I was to talk to you, if I wanted to.
I said you could look upon me as a father, didn't I? Well, didn't I say that to you?
You may have done, sir.
It's a simple question, did I or didn't I?
That's two questions, sir.
You have become a rude and disruptive boy, Blake. There's no doubt in my mind that you've been stealing things from the other boys.
I don't steal things, sir. I'd like to go now, sir, if I may.
No, you may not go.
Sir, I am on holiday. I am at home. I am not at school.
Isn't it reasonable that I should be treated with respect? Well, isn't it? Haven't you got an answer? No answer, Blake.
My father loathed you.
Is that your answer?
He would never have wanted you to be headmaster. You were senior master because you'd been here so long. That's all.
Typical Blake arrogance. They'll knock hell out of you at public school.
I'd like to go now, sir.
I'm not ready to let you go. You realize that it would be impossible for me to appoint you a prefect next term. Would you like to be a prefect? Answer the question, boy.
It's not that important, sir.
So, do I take it that you are turning down the possibility of being one of my prefects? Well, don't start spreading gossip that you've been overlooked. No special tea. No prefect's outing.
May I go now?
You haven't been coming to Stamp Club recently. Stamp Club members always do well in geography exams. I hope you're not losing interest.
No.
Your father started me off. And your grandfather started him off. They each had fine collections. Have you seen them?
Not recently.
I'd very much like to look through them sometime. Do you know where they are, Paul?
No.
Where did you last see them?
I'm not sure.
I wonder where the stamp albums can be.
Oh, I expect they're being kept safe for me until I'm 21. Like this school, Mr. Edwards.
That's a long way off. You've got a lot to learn before that happens.
Just 7.5 years. That was Harry Mortimer playing Haydn's trumpet concerto. Isn't that fantastic? And Buffalo Bill was one of the best films I've ever seen. You saw his whole life, from when he was a boy like me until he was practically dead. I liked it before he was famous. He had a friend who was an Indian, and he had to fight him to the death. That was sad. Then, at the end, he had a circus, and we knew what an exciting man he had been. But the people in the film didn't care. And when he was old, with a white beard, he appeared in the circus ring for the last time. He took off his hat to the crowd, and the lights went off him one by one. And when the lights went back on again, he wasn't there. And you knew that that was the end of him, and he was going to die.
That bit made me cry. And when he killed his Indian friend. Matey thought it was good, too. He always gives me treats in the holidays. Now, I'm going to listen to Gili. He's a fantastic singer.
Mrs. Edwards, I've just helped myself to supper, if you don't mind.
You know perfectly well that we agreed if staff were going to be late in for supper, they would let me know in advance, Mr. Maitland.
I had to do some work on my car, and I didn't think you would like me coming to supper in my overalls.
I wouldn't have liked that at all.
Righto.
I want to see what you've taken.
I'm in a hurry, if you don't mind.
I won't detain you long. Oh, I think I'll have to take this banana, and... Oh, dear. Oh, the rule about not more than 2 roast potatoes still applies in the holidays, Mr. Maitland.
There were plenty left, Mrs. Edwards.
Rules must be obeyed.
Good night, Mrs. Edwards.
You're seeing too much of the boy.
Oh?
Don't overdo it. Take care.
I don't need your advice on how to lead my life.
No one is indispensable, Maitland.
Good night, Mrs. Edwards.
I can only find out what's going on if you tell me, Paul. I know you're having problems with Mr. Edwards.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't like sneaking. Mrs. Blake.
What?
I'd like to travel.
Don't be absurd. What do you mean?
I've never been anywhere. I'd like to go to France, Italy, Greece.
Filthy foreigners. Filthy habits. Filthy food. You're far better off where you are.
How am I ever going to know anything?
How many plants can you name in the garden?
A few.
I bet you a penny you can't name more than 10. I'll test you tomorrow morning. How many birds do you know?
Sparrows, thrushes, blackbirds, robins, blue tits, chaffinches, jays, rooks, ravens, owls.
What's the difference between a rook and a raven?
Ravens are twice the size. I know quite a few birds.
And beetles? Butterflies?
I'm not so good at beetles.
There's a great deal going on right under your nose that you don't know about. If you don't know anything, blame your own laziness.
I don't know about people, except from boys, teachers, and books. I don't know about real life. I want to see things for myself, not read about them. Would you be angry if I ran away?
Livid.
Do I have to go away to public school? I don't mind leaving Gorse Park. But I don't want to go somewhere even worse.
Paul, one of these days, it'll be my turn to be gathered in. Until then, I want to see only the best happen to you. I'm quite sure that your dear father and poor mother would have wanted you to pass your common entrance and go away to boarding school. Please, accept my decision. Be an angel boy and don't make life impossible for me.
Mr. Maitland knows perfectly well he's not to help himself. It's been going on for 20 years and it's got to stop.
Of course, my dear. I'll see to it in the morning.
And those daffodils that arrived on the lunch table, they came from our part of the garden. Because it's that wretched boy. You must speak to him, Bernard. He'll grow up to be a teddy boy, just you see. Of course, he's breeding. That mother of his was a junket. An absolute junket. He'll never be a gentleman.
Would you like to read the paper, sweetheart?
There's nothing worth reading.
There's an interesting new murder on page 3.
Why didn't you tell me?
I've been thinking about the summer holidays.
Oh, shut up, Bernard.
I'm sorry, my dear. There was another woman in the case. Prime cause of all the trouble, I think you'll agree.
You know nothing about such things.
Oh, I know, I know.
It's the violence in men. They're not to be trusted. I don't even trust you. You'd love to murder me, wouldn't you?
I've done everything I can for you, but there are limits.
And how would you like to do it? Would you grab me by the throat and shake me back and forth? Oh, throttling the life out of me. Oh, I can feel your flabby fingers round my neck. Or would you put rat poison in my nightly bovril, my heart exploding in my chest?
Dearest, why not read the church magazine?
Oh, how dull you are.
I thought the Camargue would be wonderful this year.
Unhealthy. Too many mosquitoes.
Perhaps you would prefer the Canary Islands.
Too far. Those beastly plains. I'd like to go to Scotland by train.
That's settled, then. You shall go to Scotland. I'll go to the Camargue.
You'll be eaten alive. Good.
You're too young for that sort of thing. That's what you think. You
have that now. Time for a brew. Will you join me, Paul?
Oh, yes, please, sir.
Hey, you've been very quiet about your interview with the head.
He's not making me a prefect next term.
Oh.
I don't really care. I hope Rycroft will still be my friend.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
I think so.
Did you dispose of the cards?
He didn't even mention them. We're allowed cards for the Bridge Club and the Magic Circle Club. What's so terrible about other card games? Anyway, rules shouldn't count in the holidays.
Oh, things will get better when you get away from here.
Mr. Edwards hopes they'll get worse. Matey, if I'm not going to be a prefect, I might as well be as bad as possible.
How?
Once exams are over, I thought I'd sneak off to the cinema more often. I'm also planning a final puppet show for the end of term. Price Minor has some good ideas. All secret, of course.
Of course.
I wish Mr. Edwards wouldn't call my puppets dolls. He says, the boys who like playing with dolls are doing something in the library after tea. As if we're sissies or something.
I've put 2 sugars in.
Thanks, sir.
You've been listening to a lot of records lately.
I'm going through the whole collection. Some of the best ones never get played in music clubs.
What are the best ones?
You'll think this is really soppy of me, but I found a record of Gilly singing Agnus Dei.
Meaning?
Lamb of God.
Good.
It makes my hair stand on end.
What else?
The Arrival of the Guests by Wagner.
Wagner.
I like all the trumpets. I'm thinking of using it in the puppet show. Trouble is, we've only got 11 puppets, and I don't see how we can have them all marching on stage and make it last 3 minutes.
A bit of a problem.
You've got to keep using the donkey, the skeleton and the witch, whether you like it or not. I thought of having the skeleton singing Agnus Dei. Do you think the boys would like that?
Yes.
You could have it crawling out of the grave during the opening bit. Then it could sing Agnus Dei. Then it could crawl back into the grave again. That would be good. Matey?
Yes?
I've been trying to imagine it in my mind. When you're not there anymore.
Mr. Edwards said my parents died instantly. That means in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. They were there, then they weren't. If I'd seen it, I could understand it better. Perhaps it's like the lights being switched off in the dawn. There's a time when your eyes are getting adjusted to the dark. You can't see anything at first. It takes time to realize you still exist. What happened to you when you were young, matey?
Nothing like that.
But you were in the First World War.
Yes.
Why didn't you ever get married?
Well...
Sorry, sir.
Now then, let me tell you a secret.
Yes?
I was married.
Good heavens.
I got married in 1919.
Good heavens.
It only lasted 2 years, Paul. It didn't suit us. Now, that's my secret. You mustn't tell Mrs. Blake. She wouldn't approve.
I promise, matey. You know, she may still be alive. She'd be dreadfully old by now. Do you ever see her?
I haven't seen or heard a word from her since 1921.
That's the most amazing secret anyone has ever told me.
Now shut up and drink your tea.
Matey.
What?
Gorse Park will belong to me when I'm 21.
Yes.
I want you to know that whatever happens, this is going to be your home. Even if you live to be 100, matey. I promise you.
Dear boy.
Stop running, boys.
No, you mustn't run indoors.
I'm not going to run into anyone, Mr. Edwards.
How do you know?
There's no one else to run into. Worse luck.
Where have you been, anyway?
Nowhere.
You haven't been in Mr. Maitland's room tonight, have you?
No, sir.
You're quite sure about that?
Yes, sir.
I see.
May I go now, sir?
It's against the rules for boys to visit masters in their rooms.
Yes, sir. Why, sir?
Master's rooms are out of bounds.
Even if the master invites you into his own room?
Has Mr. Maitland been inviting you into his room?
No, sir.
Are you sure?
He hasn't, sir.
For boys and masters to be found together is a very serious matter.
Yes, sir. Why, sir?
Stop pestering me, Blake.
Yes, sir. But why, sir?
You'll have to wait until my school leavers talk.
But what do you say, sir? What's your talk about?
Wait and see, Blake.
Why can't you tell me now, sir?
You're becoming quite intolerable, Blake.
Sir?
What?
There is one master I've been with.
What?
There is, sir.
What?
I've been alone with one master quite a few times, sir.
I suspected as much. Who?
I've often been alone with you, sir. I have, sir. I've often been alone with you in your study. I've even visited you in what used to be my home.
Don't be absurd, Blake.
I have, sir, haven't I?
Oh, just stop it, Blake.
But I don't understand.
Go to bed.
I'm not ready to.
Do what you're told.
Leave me alone. Go away.
I'm not putting up with this.
Neither am I.
My God. My wife was right. You will end up a teddy boy.
All I want is to be left alone. In my own home, just left alone.
You spend too much time on your own as it is. You're going out of your mind, Blake. You're becoming a thoroughly odd child.
I'm not a child.
Good night, Blake.
He may.
No!
Oh, you wicked boy! Wicked!
sorry, Mrs. Edwards.
If you ever do that again, I'll kill you.
Sleep well, Mrs. Edwards.
Ooh, I'll strangle him with a towel. I'll drown him in the bath. Bury him in the water.
The boys would all be in bed by now. I sleep with them, rather than in my own room. The school is so quiet without them, even at this time of night. The classrooms all have their own smell. Ink and wood. The changing rooms smell of socks and damp mud. The back lavatories, where we play marbles, of old disinfectant and lavatory paper. This is the school dining room. Greasy tables and the whiff of old food. If you took me into any part of the school, I could tell you exactly where I was just by using my nose. On a night like this, any sound that I hear, the closing of a door, the flush of water, tells me who is where and what they're doing. I know this whole place. It's where I've spent my entire life. I've been to London 3 times, but not since my parents were killed. Since then, I've only been to Newbury and to some of the nearby schools to play football and cricket. I can hear Matey coming down to raid the kitchen. He's been doing this since before I was born. Don't be frightened.
Oh, good Lord.
I feel like staying up all night.
Are you all right?
Yes. I like it when I can get the place to myself. I'm not really going to stay up.
I should think not.
Mrs. Blake is going to pay me 3d an hour to weed the garden. Well, let's go and see Captain Hornblower next week. Gregory Peck's in it.
Good idea. Are you hungry?
Oh, yes, sir. Do you think it's a good night for midnight feast?
An excellent night. Let's raid the kitchen. You sit there and leave this to me.
Let me tell you a secret, matey.
Right.
I'm going to declare war on Mr. Edwards.
Really?
I'm going to have to stand up for myself. More than I have done. There won't be anything left of me if I don't. They're all wearing me down. He's trying to crack my shell. He does it on purpose. I can't stand it any longer. I'll either beat him or run away and never be seen again. I hate him so much, matey.
Be patient, Paul.
What's going to happen to Mrs. Blake when I go away to school?
Oh, don't worry. She's as tough as old boots.
Sometimes she likes me. Sometimes she doesn't. I never know what she's going to be like. She gets angry if I refer to her as my grandmother. I've never, ever called her granny. I don't understand. Is she mad?
No more than the rest of us.
She's very odd. Will I be like that one day?
If you're lucky. Now, my spies tell me there are some chocolate biscuits not far away.
I've given up chocolate for Lent. What a fool. I could eat a whole packet of chocolate biscuits right now.
I don't think chocolate biscuits count, do they?
I know this sounds mad, but I've got this fear. But if I break my promise and eat chocolate, it will somehow affect my parents. I mean, their resurrection.
Paul, it would give your parents, who who I loved dearly, the greatest pleasure to know that you are eating chocolate biscuits tonight. You eat half the packet and I'll eat the other half. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Matey, their bodies must have been smashed to pieces.
I'm trying to capture the magic of spring in watercolors. Why don't you go and do something useful, too?
I did, Mr. Edwards. All morning. Anyway, I like watching you paint.
Where's Mr. Maitland?
In 2A. He's painting the blackboard. That's useful, don't you think? Do you mind me watching you, sir?
Not if you're quiet.
I am quiet, sir. I only talk if you ask me something. Would you like a sweet, sir?
No, thank you.
They're extra strong mint, sir. You said you liked extra strong mint.
When?
In Scripture, last term. We were doing the marriage feast at Cana. Jesus had just turned the water into wine, sir, and you said you liked extra strong mints after a meal. Mallet said that if he'd been at the marriage feast and he'd been offered an extra strong mint, he'd have asked Jesus to turn it into fudge. You threw chalk at him and actually hit him. We all believed in miracles after that, sir.
Are you trying to stop me painting, Dick?
No, sir. I was offering you a sweet. It's a jolly good painting, sir. Which tree is it?
The silver birch, idiot.
It's a weeping silver birch. A very sad tree.
Shut up, Blake.
Yes, sir.
Blake.
Yes, sir.
Would you do me a kindness?
Yes, sir.
Would you fill up my jam jar with fresh water?
Yes, sir. How full, sir?
Nearly up to the brim.
Yes, sir. Hot or cold, sir?
Cold.
Certainly, sir. Sir.
What?
Are you sure you wouldn't like a sweet?
No, thank you, Blake.
Okay.
Bernard!
Oh, God.
I thought a little ivy would brighten the place up.
How thoughtful.
You know, it's one of those days when it's actually good to be alive.
I am sorry, my love. May I get on with my painting?
Oh, your beastly painting. You paint that miserable tree every year. You know I always use your paintings to light the boiler. Mm-hmm. And only the stupidest boys take art lessons. I really find it humiliating to see you sitting there in that ridiculous smock and hat. I don't know why you persist in such an idle, effeminate pursuit.
There you are, sir. Cold and nearly up to the brim.
Don't burst into other people's conversations, you rude boy. Go away.
I'm going.
Bernard, do something about the boy, if you love me.
Twist. Twist again. Bust.
Double.
Good. 5 for 6 pieces.
You said threepence was the highest stake.
You doubled the stakes,
no.
5 for another 6.
I thought you were broke.
There's money in weeds.
Buy for another six. Please.
Oh.
Yes!
Oh.
A five-card trick. I've won. I'm rich.
No, I'm rich. Let me see.
21, exactly.
Oh, you mangy little creep.
A five-carder. That's five times the stake money. That's 10 shillings you owe me. 10 shillings, Macy.
Now, hold on. I might get a five-carder. Now, then. What? 10? 17?
You can't do this to me, Macy.
Oh,
your bus, Macy.
Damn.
10 shillings.
Oh, there you are. Always pay your debts.
Thank you, sir.
Now, leave me in peace.
Let's play cricket, after tea, matey. You can bat first. It's a smashing evening for next.
Right.
4:45?
Right. Now, push off.
I think I am satisfied with the class list you have prepared for next term.
I'm pleased to hear that, Mrs. Blake. I'm going to speak my mind. It is now 2 years since you asked me, as senior master, to assume your late son's position as headmaster.
2 years?
I feel... My wife feels... I feel you must permit me to have a greater say in the running of the school. I'm deeply concerned about the way things are going here. I must be able to make decisions without having to keep coming to you to have them ratified. I cannot carry on like this. It's bad for the school. It's bad for the morale of the staff. In the remaining years that I have before my retirement, I do wish to take control. I mean, in an appropriate manner.
Are you accusing me of interfering?
We know you have the interests of the school at heart.
You fool.
I hope you don't mind me...
I've kept it going all these years with my money. You know that. Disgraceful man. Shocking. You'd cram all the classes full of boys if you could. I know the games you and your dear wife are up to.
What games?
I know about the books you order for yourself out of school money. I know about the private accounts you have both been using for your own purposes. In a moment of crisis, I placed you above your station. My husband would have had a fit if he dreamt that you would one day be headmaster. A fit! However, I think this is the right moment to tell you that I am advertising for a new headmaster, a younger man, to take over after the summer term.
Outrageous!
I have already contacted Gabitas and Thring.
My God!
I shall interview candidates myself during next term. I want you and your wife to retire. I shall pay you in full up to your 65th birthday, so you will have a steady income till then. I shall pay your wife a lump sum in the autumn when the fees come in. You won't lose a penny by this arrangement.
I won't let you...
Don't you raise your arm at me.
We won't be cast out like this. After all we've done, you stupid, treacherous woman.
That's enough.
You don't know what you're doing. There will be no need for me to retire, even at 65. I'm perfectly fit.
I don't wish to discuss this matter any further with you now.
If you should move out, you... You refuse to listen to sensible advice. You should have sent the boy away 2 years ago.
We are not discussing him, Edward.
I said to then, didn't I? Didn't I?
Oh, how you'd love to get us both out of the way. How you'd love to rule the roost. I'll see there's a proper man in charge before I'm gone. You never fooled me for one instant. You held the fort for 2 years. For that, I'm grateful. I intend to see that you are correctly rewarded. You'll end your career at the top. And it was I who put you there. Be grateful, Edwards.
You can't get rid of me that easily.
Don't make a total fool of yourself.
The staff are entirely behind me.
Ah,
My wife will be furious.
Yes.
I'm not finished yet.
In the last few minutes, you have called me stupid, treacherous. You have behaved in the most threatening manner. I don't think we have a lot left to say to one another. I'll keep my word. You'll get your money. From now on, I insist that we conclude our business together in a correct fashion. You will have no complaints.
My God. We'll see.
Good shot. Right, that's enough, Paul.
One more ball, matey. Four to win.
We've just done four to win. Oh. Clean ball!
Oh, matey. Oh,
served you right, you cocky blighter. Now, if you have to slog to win the match, make sure you move your feet.
I know. You're still too crafty for me, matey.
You're getting into some bad habits. You try that leg glance off your pads too often. On the sort of wickets you have to play on, the golden rule is safety first.
I don't like playing safe in the nets.
Paul, you haven't told anyone what I told you the other night.
No. Of course not. I promised.
You haven't told Mrs. Blake?
No.
Good boy.
Sir?
What?
Sir, you know Mr. Edwards talks to the boys when they leave. You know, the leavers talk. Well, what does he say?
How should I know?
You do know. I'm sure you do.
He gives them all an old boy's time.
There's more to it than that, sir.
He shakes hands and wishes them all good luck at their public schools and tells them not to let the side down.
Why won't anyone tell me? I know it's about the facts of life. I feel stupid not knowing about things. Nobody tells you anything at this school.
I doubt very much if Edwards is an authority on the facts of life. When I was a boy, we learned such things in the dormitory at nights.
Did you? Did you really, matey?
Well, I mean, not exactly. Some things.
I have learned some things, but I still don't understand. I can't make sense of it all. I don't like growing up. I've been perfectly happy the way I am. I think hair on your body is ugly. Trevor's used to be quite nice, but he's become hairy. You know, round his thing. Now I don't trust him. I don't want to change, matey. Why do things keep happening to you that spoil everything?
Oh, God. Let's talk about cricket.
I don't want to talk about cricket.
Growing up isn't as bad as all that. There are compensations.
Well, what the hell are they?
Wait and see. Be patient.
How can I be patient?
Try.
I've got a secret.
Oh?
Do you promise not to tell?
All right.
Promise.
I promise.
I started getting hairy.
Oh.
I shaved myself clean with Daddy's razor. I don't think that's in the least funny.
I'm sorry, Paul. You're the most dear boy, and I love you very much.
It isn't funny.
It is quite funny.
It isn't. It isn't. It isn't.
No, it isn't really.
Matey.
I'm sorry. Come sit down. Come on.
I know it's silly, but it isn't funny.
The secret is...
Yes?
There's nothing to be frightened of.
That's not a secret. What's the matter with everyone?
Look, I just don't want to talk about it, so just forget it.
How can I?
The housemaster at your public school will tell you what you want to know when the time is right.
How do you know?
They generally do. You're too young.
I'm not.
We shouldn't be talking about such things.
We aren't talking about anything.
I can't do it, Paul. Please understand. I don't know how to start. So please stop it. Oh, it's such a beautiful evening. Don't spoil it, there's a good chap. Now, I think I'll take a quick bath before supper, so gather up the balls.
What's he doing tonight?
That's my business.
Are you going to the pub, Mason?
There are 10 balls, Blake. There's the bag. And take the stumps to the pavilion.
Years ago, you should have had a contract.
None of the staff has a contract. You don't have a contract.
I can see you're ready to give in. Typical. Weak. We should take legal advice tomorrow.
My dear, I have spent the last half hour on the telephone.
Well?
We mustn't do anything rash. Stay calm. Time is on our side.
Time? With nowhere to go. No house. Nothing.
We've received nothing in writing. No dates. No terms of settlement.
Her mind doesn't work like that. Get the doctor in. Have her certified insane. She's not capable of making decisions.
She owns everything.
She owns nothing. She's merely a trustee for the boy.
Oh. Consider for a moment what we might get if we go along with her intentions. I'll be retired on full pay for another 2 years. I'll be getting various annuities and a pension. You will be getting an undisclosed sum. If we really put the pressure on, I think we'll persuade her to buy us a house somewhere. Suddenly, after 40 years of Gorse Park, no more class lists, fortnightly orders, reports, parents' meetings, sports days, no more homesickness, bedwetting, dormitories in quarantine, and for you, no more laundry or cooking for an ungrateful staff. No more midnight watches on the store cupboard to see who's finishing the rations. I'm beginning to like the idea. We can travel. You can go to Scotland. I can go to France. Well, haven't we done quite well?
Kill the bitch.
What?
Murder!
What?
What a wonderful chance. Wouldn't it give you pleasure to watch her die after all these years of abuse? Oh, she thinks herself mighty important. There are some debts that must be paid. I've been so polite, so cunning. I've humiliated myself to her so often. She calls me Francis, as though I was a friend. I know she despises me. Are you with me, Bernard?
What are you saying? My dear, you need a rest.
Help me do it.
We wouldn't gain anything. We'd lose out on a lot of money. We should do everything in our power to keep her alive to the end of the summer term. After that, she can drop dead whenever she likes. Where are you going?
Mrs. Blake wants her beef tea.
I don't think she really wants it tonight.
Of course she does.
You worked so hard today. Let me make it. Please sit down.
I know my duty.
I really do think we should talk further about this.
Get out of my way.
Then I'll help you.
No!
Oh, I've prepared the Dickens questions, Mrs. Blake.
Splendid. I'll give you a penny for every one I get wrong.
First lines.
Oh.
I want you to tell me the name of the book.
Good.
Although I'm an old man, night is generally my time for walking.
Ah, now that's the old curiosity shop.
Right. Next. There once lived, in a sequestered part of the county of Devonshire, one... Now... Who lived in a sequestered part of the county of Devonshire, and which book?
Well, the book is Nicholas Nickleby, and the man is Mr. Something Nickleby. Godfrey Nickleby.
Very clever, Mrs. Blake.
Do
Dickens has the most wonderful way of leading you into a story. Did you notice that in the old curiosity shop you're not quite sure at first who the narrator actually is?
I only read the first bit.
As soon as Easter is over, you shall read it to me. We'll read it together.
Good.
It's very sad. Very sad. Your grandfather gave me that set of Dickens when we got married. He was a very shrewd man. We went to Brighton for our honeymoon. We read Pickwick Papers together. He was very clever with all the voices. He was a very skillful actor. We used to put on all sorts of plays. The boys loved him. He was an absolute panic.
Who bought the school? Where did you used to live?
Well, my husband came from Somerset. He taught at the local church school. His father was a farmer. I had money from my side of the family, and I bought Gorse Park. We wanted our boys to be part of the family. We used to think 40 boys was too many. Your father was born here.
I wasn't, was I?
It was during the war. Your mother went into hospital. And that night, there was an air raid on Reading. Your mother always said you came into the world with a bang.
Did she?
Do you want to become headmaster here one day?
I don't know.
I mean, long after I've been gathered in, when you're a man.
I can't think that far ahead. I'd like to own it when the time comes, but that doesn't mean I have to be headmaster.
No.
I can decide later.
Paul, I know I haven't always treated you fairly.
Oh.
No. Don't interrupt. But with the time I've got left, I want to see that you get what is rightfully yours.
Mr. Maitland is getting quite old. He's always been very kind to me. When I go away to school, can he stay here as long as he likes? He hasn't got any other home to go to.
I'll tell you a secret. He's over 70.
Golly.
There will always be a job for him here. If he wants to stop taking classes, I'll put him in charge of the library. What do you think of that?
You'll have to ask him first.
True.
But he'll be able to stay.
As long as he wishes.
Thank you.
Now, I'm ready for bed.
Wait a moment. 30 years ago, Marseille lay burning in the sun.
Little Dorrit, now be an angel boy and tell that dreadful Mrs. Edwards that I don't want any deep tea tonight.
Righto. Good night.
Don't be late.
I won't.
Francis, do let me in.
Go away, Bernard. You know men are not allowed in the school kitchen. Now, please, let me take Mrs. Blake her beef tea.
Oh, she's bound to have gone to bed by now.
Oh, stop fussing.
Let me take it up to her.
There's nothing in it.
I don't trust you.
Oh, God, it's the boy.
You can be in bed, Blake.
Mrs. Blake says she doesn't want her beef tea tonight.
Rubbish!
She doesn't.
I told you so.
Would you like to drink it, Bernard?
No.
Oh, poor Paul. You've been looking rather pale lately. Why not take this up to bed with you?
Ah, I hate the stuff.
Is this the party?
Mr. Maitland, this is the end.
Good evening, Maitland.
This is the hour of pride and power, talon and tush and claw. Oh, hear the call, good hunting all that keep the jungle law.
You've been drinking. I can smell it from here.
Look, thy den is hid and deep, lest the wrong by thee forgot, draw my killer to the spot.
Take this beef tea, matey. It'll do you good.
Ooh, thank you. Wood and water. Wind and sea, wisdom, strength, and courtesy. Jungle favor, go with thee.
And the cheese is locked away.
How dogs a wolf has died tonight.
Mr. Maitland.
Sir.
Go to bed.
Oh. I'll see if he's all right.
Matey, are you okay? Oh. Something, idiot. Oh.
Perfectly.
I'll help you to your room.
You smashed the curtain.
Thank God.
No need, Paul. I'm fine. Good night, everyone. Sorry about the mess.
Don't worry.
I'll clear up.
No, you won't, you beastly boy.
Go to bed, Blake.
My dear, you need a good, long sleep.
Mrs. Blake.
What?
Matey's here.
Oh, thank God.
Isn't this the most perfect Easter morning?
Well, it will be when you've served the sherry, Matey. I'm absolutely gasping.
It's much too hot to wear a coat, Mrs. Blake.
Nonsense.
Sweet or dry, Mrs. Blake?
Sweet, please. Thank you.
Can I have some, Mrs. Blake?
May I?
May I have some, please?
You hate sherry.
I don't. It is Easter Day. Please.
Do you think we should, Matey?
I did bring him a glass, Mrs. Blake.
Oh, which would you like? Which would he like, Matey?
Well, I think he'd better start with a sweet.
So do I.
Thanks, Matey.
Silly boy.
It went up my nose.
Well, I'd like to wish you both a very happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Look at them down there. The old bitch thinks she's so grand.
We've got to join them, my dear.
Not yet. Let them swelter.
Mrs. Blake?
Hmm?
Where are Daddy's stamp albums?
Oh, not now.
They are safe, aren't they?
Perfectly.
Can I see them?
They're locked away.
May I see them after lunch?
You're not in the least interested in stamps anymore. You sold most of your collection to Pettigrew 2 terms ago.
I wanted to buy lights for the puppet theatre. I've got to get money somehow. I didn't want to sell them to Mr. Edwards. He took the first day covers that Daddy sent me.
Rubbish.
He did. He gave me 0.5 crown for the lot. I could have got 10 shillings from Pettigrew. Mr. Edwards swindled me. That's why I left the stamp club. I was really angry with myself. The first day covers were the best part of my collection. Once they were gone, there didn't seem to be much point in keeping the rest. I would like to see Daddy's stamps, just to look at them.
Matey, how are the desks? Have you been round every classroom?
I've just got 3B to do.
3B? You must be careful when you get to Slade Jones's desk. He made the best marble slide in the school last term. He wants me to take care of it. There's a hole where the inkwell goes. If you put a marble in, it travels for 47 seconds around the inside before it drops out of the hole in the bottom. It's brilliant. Please don't move his desk around too much, Mason.
This is an ideal time to confront them.
No, it isn't.
They'll be killing themselves with sherry.
Not on Easter Day.
You know the way she slops it down? That'll loosen her tongue.
Stay calm.
You always were a bloody coward.
Here comes the head.
My dears, do come and join us. Matey, Mrs. Edwards likes her sherry as dry as possible. Isn't the weather heavenly?
I see you've wiped out the last of the daffodils.
Do give her a large glassful.
Sweet for me, Maitland.
Could I try some of the dry now, please?
You haven't drunk it already, wicked boy.
Have you been drinking?
I gave him permission.
I see.
You're far too young to drink. Maitland would have a fit.
I'd like to see what the dry tastes like.
You've had quite enough.
I only want a bit.
Give him a drop, matey.
He won't eat his lunch.
Like a bet.
Now then, no more squabbling. Be happy, everyone.
I'm perfectly happy.
Good.
How's the lunch going?
Everything's in hand.
I'd rather have mine on a plate.
My dear Bernard, do tell us how your painting is coming along.
It would be easier if people would leave me alone.
Absolutely. He's so very talented. I can see painting becoming the chief delight of his old age.
Next to Mrs. Edwards. Be quiet.
Tell her, Bernard.
The roll for next term comes to 104 boys.
Oh, well done.
I didn't want to turn down twins. There are 3 more boys in the family. And it's a great pity we can't create another classroom. The demand is there. Our facilities could cope with 120 boys without unnecessary strain. We wouldn't even have to engage extra staff. Mm. The greatly increased income would be useful for building a science room in the conservatory.
We don't want to talk shop on this occasion. Besides, there isn't room for another classroom.
But surely Mr. Maitland's room will become available at the end of the summer term.
It won't.
There's no question of Mr. Maitland leaving us at the end of the summer. I will not allow this conversation to proceed.
I'm sure it's not your intention to strangle the future.
This is a social occasion. Blossom really has been glorious this year. And I adore Aubrecia. Isn't it delightful?
You're not leaving us, are you, matey?
Not as far as I know.
Good. Paul, be an angel boy and go to the woods.
Do I have to?
Pick a bunch of wild flowers and some good foliage. Don't bring any more poison ivy. Mrs. Edwards very kindly brought in quite enough of that the other day. Now off you go. And don't get your best clothes dirty.
Decisions have to be made, Mrs. Blake.
I'm surprised at you, Edwards, in front of the boy. And you really owe poor Matey some sort of explanation.
I quite understand. There's no need.
I speak for my husband.
My dear...
We're not going to be pushed out at the end of summer. You're a foolish, stupid old woman.
That's enough.
You're certifiably insane.
Look, you've said enough, Mrs. Edwards.
Don't interfere, Maitland.
Headmaster, do something.
Thank you, Mr. Maitland. I can take care of this.
My dear, I think lunch needs attending.
Let it burn.
I have stood quite enough of this. I am acting with the full support of the governors and trustees of the estate. Let me make it clear once and for all. Mr. and Mrs. Edwards, you will be leaving under the generous terms that I have discussed with Mr. Edwards. And I strongly urge you both to behave with dignity in this matter. A settlement worth many thousands of pounds will be made in your favour, most of which will come from my resources, not the school's. I therefore make the entirely reasonable request that you both behave politely, especially in front of staff and pupils. Your affairs will be settled with generosity and honour. Mr. Maitland, would you be so kind as to help Mrs. Edwards carry in the food for lunch?
Certainly, Mrs. Blake.
Oh. Stay away from me!
Very well, I'll wait in the dining room and you can carry it in.
My dear Edwards, please sit down. It was never my intention to humiliate you. I am acting firmly in the interests of everyone, including yourselves. Have you thought further about where you might live?
I have always wanted a house near the sea. Perhaps on the south coast, looking across towards France.
Then you shall have it. Will you and Mrs. Edwards spend a week away at my expense and find what you are looking for? I shall also be pleased to provide the first £500 towards the cost of the house, in addition to the settlement that I have already outlined.
That is most generous. I shall take Francis away for a week.
Good. Daylight at last. There are 2 things I shall request of you in return.
Oh?
No more rows. Dignity.
What else?
Please return the stamps. I mean specifically the first day covers that you bought quite properly from my grandson at the stamp club.
Very well.
Thank you, Bernard. Drink up. Lunchtime, I think. Oh. May I take your arm?
Oh, of course.
Oh, do look. Poor daffodils.
Come in.
Sorry to call on you so late, Maisie.
It's 9:45. You should be asleep.
Well, I'm not.
What is it?
I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to show you something.
Sit down. Tie up your dressing gown.
Oh, right, sir.
Get on with it.
Here are two of my father's stamp albums.
Oh.
I wanted to show them to you.
Thank you.
Mrs. Blake says he specialized. They're all British.
Oh, I remember him collecting some of these. He had the idea that it was worth collecting whole sheets of stamps. It's important to keep these in a dry place.
Some of the sheets are stuck together. How'd you get them apart again?
Ah. Penny blacks. Quite a few.
And penny reds.
Have you tried looking them up in Stanley Gibbons?
I haven't had time yet. I was wondering if you could explain how to measure perforations.
Oh, quite simple. You hold the stamp up to the gauge and start counting.
Mm.
The secret is not to try and do it too fast. Too many boys lose patience and guess at the answer. Now, take your time, Paul.
Here are some of his Commonwealth stamps.
Oh, yes.
I like the Canadian ones best.
They're very beautiful. A wonderful collection, Paul.
I've decided that I'm going to keep it going. Mrs. Blake says she'll give me a new stamp album for my birthday with a surprise in it.
Good for her.
Everyone collects British stamps. I'm going to specialize in Commonwealth ones.
Most impressive. There you are. Keep them safe.
Don't tell Mr. Edwards I showed you. He's been pestering me for ages. If he gets his hands on them, he'll swipe the best ones for his own collection. I don't know exactly what's here, matey. I wouldn't even know what I'd lost.
Have you had a go at the Latin papers I gave you?
Not yet. I don't want to go to public school, matey.
They'll make a man of you.
Looks as though I'm going to be a man, whether I like it or not.
You'll learn to stick up for yourself.
Matey, how did you feel when you heard they dropped the atomic bomb?
What on earth?
Tell me.
It was like scoring the winning goal in the cup final.
Didn't it frighten you?
Not at the time. I don't think we understood what had happened.
It frightened me terribly. You were a soldier in the First World War.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us about that, instead of doing Latin?
You wouldn't pass your exams.
But it would be real. Were you ever a prisoner of war?
No.
I've just finished reading The Scourge of the Swastika. It was fantastic.
How did you get hold of that?
From Simpkins's tuck box. He said I could. Matey, I've had enough of school. I want to run away to sea or be kidnapped. I feel like a prisoner. I want to escape. But I don't know how. I feel I'm exploding in all directions. I've lots and lots of secret things. Secret thoughts. I've hardly told you any of them.
The problem is, there's a limit to the amount I can take on board, dear Paul. I'm old. My memory is full of moments, bits of conversations, embarrassments that strike back at you with force after 50 years of silence. There's too much mud in me that's frightened to be disturbed. Just help me to keep the flow of things clear. If I was a young boy and your friend, as I believe I am, then I would say to you, let's pack our bags tonight and travel to the ends of the earth and back again.
Yes.
But of course, I can't say that now. I'm just an old man, Paul.
I don't care about you being old.
Do talk about something else. Or go to bed.
Oh, I brought you some of my Easter egg.
Ah. Thank you.
Aren't you going to try it?
Later.
Have some now, with me.
Mmm.
Mmm. It's not bad, is it?
Thank you.
I've discovered some more music, matey.
Oh?
There are only two records left out of the original set. It's Elgar's violin concerto.
Ah.
Elgar's actually conducting. There's the slow movement and the end of the last movement. There used to be six records, I think. The rest are lost or bust. The music is very strange. And I don't really understand it. But I have to keep going back to it. It's really weird.
Do you know the name of the violinist?
Menuhin.
He was just a little older than you when he made that recording.
Is he still alive?
Very alive.
And Elgar?
Very dead.
I'm going to search through the record shops and find the missing records.
If you find any of them, buy them, whatever the price, and I will refund you. Will you let me do that?
Thank you, sir.
Now, bedtime.
Don't tell Mr. Edwards about the stamps.
No. Off you go.
Thank you, sir. In the dormitory, mine's the only bed with a mattress on. I mean in the holidays. On the last morning of term, all the other boys carry their mattresses into Ruskin dorm. It's above the boiler room. Now, all the other beds in my dorm look like black skeletons. I stubbed my toe on one in the middle of last night. Sometimes, I wake up and wonder why it's so quiet. There's still 2 weeks of the holidays left. Then, the boys' trunks start to turn up, and matron and the domestic staff come back, and everything gets cleaned. Then the masters arrive. There's a new master next term. There nearly always is. It's quite embarrassing not being a prefect in your last term. Everyone will ask why, and think I've done something wrong. You can't keep explaining that the headmaster is a rotten worm. At least there's cricket, the music club, and the best ever puppet show. And Matthew Dolan, he's my friend. I love him. There's quite a lot to look forward to.
Michael Wilcox, the part of Paul, was played by Ben Holden. Mrs. Blake, Stephanie Cole. Mrs. Edwards, Molly Sugden. Mr. Edwards, Geoffrey Palmer. And Mr. Maitland by Ronald Herdman. Lent was directed by Marilyn Imrie.